Hello everyone, Richard Tubb here, and I'm speaking today with Chris Day, the CEO of Vancouver-based managed service provider, Fully Managed. Fully Managed are one of the largest MSPs in Western Canada. Now, Chris is also the CEO of IT Glue, a software as a service solution to the problems of IT documentation for IT companies. Now, amongst recent honours, Chris has been awarded the 40 Under 40 Award for his individual success as a CEO, and Fully Managed as a business have been named Alberta's Best Workplace and British Columbia Small Business Best Employer as well. So I'm delighted that Chris can join us today. Chris, how are you?
Doing very well. Thank you, Richard. Thanks for the wonderful intro.
Oh, you're welcome. And how's Vancouver today? I know it's early in the morning for you, though.
You know what? It's a beautiful day here. Sunny, which is unlike Vancouver, which is known for to be like Seattle, very, very rainy. But it's been beautiful, so I can't complain.
Excellent. Sounds a lot like Birmingham in the UK, where I'm calling from today. We've got an absolutely gorgeous day, and that's a rarity. So, so I've mentioned that you're the CEO of two companies, a managed service provider, much like many of the listeners to this podcast, and also a company that provides solutions for MSPs in IT Glue. Perhaps you can share a little bit about how you ended up running not one, but two very successful businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. The last couple of years have been a real, really put me through the ringer, I would say. There's a lot that goes into mainly starting a new business in general, but particularly with IT Glue, where we've been on a very aggressive growth curve. It's been absolutely nuts. And Fully Managed, the good thing about Fully Managed is that it's a fairly established business. It's been around since 2002, and I have a partner in that business, Charlene. And thanks to her, she's the president, and then I have another basically a VP of ops and sales, and the collective three run the business essentially. So I've been very fortunate to be able to take the last 2 years and focus all of my, I'd say 95% of my energy on IT Glue. The 5% Fully Managed has been really more on the quarterly strategy meetings and annual strategy planning meetings. So, very thankful for that.
And IT Glue, so I'm intrigued. I know a little bit of the background of IT Glue, and I understand it was IT Glue came together as a result of peer pressure, for want of a better word. Perhaps you could explain a little bit more about that.
It was because probably like yourself, I spent a lot of time in the ConnectWise community back then. Obviously, spending time in both the ConnectWise and Autotest communities now, but. We were in HTG, we were in the service leadership peer groups. I was doing presenting at Microsoft events, and I would through a lot of those initiatives, I would always be sort of talking about documentation, and I would be pulling up screenshots, and I would have the structured information that I would show people, and every time they would say, "What is that? What is that? Because it's not SharePoint and it's not Word documents, and it's not a wiki." And so I guess it was honestly just enough people saying to me, "You should really sell that software." And this was probably starting 5-6 years ago that people were saying that. Because we developed the story with IT Glue is that my brother and I developed the software initially just as a standalone tool, just for Fully Managed, and that we did that probably 9 years ago. And it just evolved, and to the point where we were paying, we almost had a full-time developer just working on features just within Fully Managed on that tool. So eventually, just came to a point, and that was probably about 3 years ago, where I decided, you know what, I'm going to actually start a company, and it was completely separate from Fully Managed, but I spun up a team, found a developer partner, and I guess the rest is history. It took about 2 years to build the app from sort of what I would consider a prototype or a 9-year beta test to the point where it is today, where it's software as a service platform and hundreds of MSPs using it. So crazy.
Fantastic story. And I want to talk a little bit more about IT Glue as our conversation goes forward. But I really want to look upon Fully Managed now and your history with that just for
sure.
a few minutes.
Yeah.
So you've very publicly shared how you, in your own words here, are, and to quote, driven by the tireless pursuit to inspire, improve, create peace of mind, and build a successful, world-class global brand. I think that's a fantastic sort of tagline there. And that in itself is an inspiring vision. Now, most IT businesses I know of tend to think locally, tend to think to a certain geographical area. They certainly don't think globally for the most part. So, Chris, what drives you to think globally about Fully Managed?
Well, about Fully Managed, you know, we always had this vision of 10 million in 10 cities. And that was the idea that, you know, and we're nowhere near that vision yet, I'll be honest. But we're around 55 employees today, so... but it was always, you know, we always thought that, and partly just with the name, you know, we really believed in the purpose of the company. The creating peace of mind was, you know, I'm sure a lot of companies have gone through this exercise, the whole Simon Sinek, you know, understanding your why are you in business, not what do you do? That was a big, profound thing for us in Fully Managed, and understanding that, we wanted to instill, create an emotion, through our service, not just, not just be a service provider that, you know, we're fast and we give you a good strategy. It was like, what do people feel when they engage with our brand? And then not thinking so small as single city. You know, we were able to get, to take that to the next step and have a second city. And then we've added a third city, in the last 18 months as well. So, you know, I think we're executing on that vision slowly. I don't know that Fully Managed is going to be global. In the end, it's probably, you know, maybe Canada-wide would be the extent of our vision. There's just so much business available even inside of Canada that I'm not sure we would need the global challenge, but obviously certainly a different beasts with a software as a service business like IT Glue, which is very, very much international and global.
Understood. So what's, would you say, the biggest challenge you face as being the CEO of not one, but two quite different businesses?
You know, the challenge is probably, the challenge would always be considered time, I guess. And again, I've mitigated that largely by having a great team. You know, that certainly time, and then certainly where does your passion lie? I would say for me, that would be the other piece. Where do I get the most inspired? And, you know, I've been in the IT provider space for a long time. Started the company probably 13, 14 years ago. And so for me, you know, get the MSP space I've been there, and I really value being connected to that world. Because I still get great insights, and you know, I meet and talk with MSPs every single day, probably five or six different companies every single day, and the things that I learn and the things that I can share, you know, the challenge is definitely, you know, how much value can I still add to Fully Managed when I'm spending 95% of my time on IT Glue. So, and that, you know, that that's a good problem to have, but certainly that's probably the largest one.
Yeah, I agree. And there's some parallels with, you know, I'm the former owner of a managed service provider business myself, and now I work with the owners of IT businesses. And after I sold the MSP, there was, you know, a big concern over, is what I know going to become irrelevant? I'd say at this stage, certainly not, because, you know, I'm fortunate enough to work with some, you know, really cutting edge MSPs doing some great things. So that keeps me grounded, keeps my foot in the industry and understand what's still going on. And it sounds like that's very much for you with running IT Glue and running Fully Managed as well.
It is. It's exactly that. And you're right. There's some, you've seen it as I've seen it. There's some, you know, companies doing some incredible things. You know, there's companies that just, you know, from in every area of the business that are just so dialed in that, you know, I would aspire for our business to be that dialed in that area. You know, it's really interesting what you run across. But everybody, you know, it's very difficult to get all those levers, working at the same time and generating the bottom line that everybody's looking for. That's a big struggle still. And you know, nobody's got it perfect yet.
Definitely. So let's change gear for a minute then, talking of levers. So how would you say running a SaaS business in IT Glue different to your experience of running a managed service provider?
That's a great question. And I would say that there's a number of things that are different. The thing that's very similar, which I love about running a SaaS business, is that I'm connected with still the CEOs, the executives, the owners of these businesses, like I was fully managed. So selling to that same, same level, which we did, and generally the same size of companies, which is very interesting, right? Most, I would say the predominant, I'm sure it's 80-90% of MSPs are below 50 employees, which, I would say 80-90% of the MSP customers that we would sell to are below 50 employees. Not maybe a little bit higher, but very similar anyway, in terms of the size of companies that we sell to. What's different, I would say, is certainly the scalability of a SaaS business. The fact that we have days where we've brought on 20, 30 customers in a single day. And, try doing that in MSP world.
Oh yeah, definitely not.
That's not gonna, it may not fly.
I've shuddered a bit just thinking about that, but yeah.
Yeah. And then the other thing that's really, really cool, I would say, about the SaaS business is, and some of the MSPs have figured this out too, is really we're selling to a vertical. So, very much understand the pain points, and the value proposition for an MSP, for the software that we sell for documentation. In the MSP world, our MSP wasn't, is probably not, given our markets that we're in, we're not in very large markets. And so, we don't have that capability of going super vertical. So, you're not tailoring your managed services to legal or to accounting or to, manufacturing. We actually have to take all three, in order to have enough of a market to get us the growth that we want. And so with that comes, the challenges of not being vertical focused. You can't be as good if you're spread on verticals. So that piece, it really highlighted for me. It was actually only in the last couple of weeks that I realized really it's such a vertical. IT Glue is so vertical. It's MSPs that we sell to that everybody has the exact same challenge. So, you can really hone the software, the solution set to that vertical.
Makes a lot of sense. So let's talk about IT Glue and let's talk about IT documentation a little bit more. So a while ago, I wrote a book entitled The Top 5 Mistakes MSPs Make That Cost Them Time and Money. And one of those 5 mistakes was lack of documentation. So I'm guessing that's a sentiment you agree with, Chris. So why is IT documentation so important to MSPs?
It's actually crazy that it hasn't been, that this industry, this part of the MSP space hasn't been a focus, and really until now, and it sounds like until your book. the thing about documentation is it's one of the top factors in being able to run efficiently. And if you run efficiently, you make more money. There's a statistic which, if I ask a room full of MSPs this question, almost everybody agrees. Do you think that IT providers spend at least 20% of their time, or IT people spend at least 20% of their time looking for information? And everybody's hand will go up. And I'll say, leave your hand up if you think it's maybe 30. And leave your hand up if you think it's maybe 40%. And it's shocking. There's still quite a few companies with their hand up at 40 and 50%, right? And then I'll ask the flip side question, who would rate their documentation on a scale of 1 to 10 higher than a 5? And it would be like, in a room of 200 people, I'm not kidding, there'll be like 5 hands, right? And even those guys, I'll say, they're no higher than maybe a 7. So, it's very interesting because I think that our industry was really focused on the technology and the tools, for so long. And my view is that maybe that was necessary because there was still, we were really struggling with a lot of the tools. You know, there was, servers were still blue screening and, you know, the backup software wasn't reliable and, you know, the RMM tools didn't work that well. There's all these kind of things that were, you know, that needed some maturing. I feel like a lot of those things have happened. And now the next logical thing, you know, they always say there's three levers to business success. People, process, and technology. Okay, well, everybody understands the value of good people. I think everybody understands the value of good technology. And then it's this last bucket of process, if you're in this, or if you're in Canada, you could say either one, but in the States, it's process. that one is sort of, it's left to the wayside. And it's like, yeah, we understand that's important. And then I will drill into these examples and say, you know, if you sit me down in your company today and you've got a new service request for company X, then I've never seen that company in my life. How long would it take me to be up to speed and be able to support that customer? And, you know, and then you run through scenarios and then they'll say, oh, no, we've got all that information. It's really, you know, we've got guys that know that. And I said, yeah, but that costs you time and money. So if I have to ask somebody, you know, how does that virtual environment set up? Or if I have to ask somebody, what's the DHCP server over there? Or is that server being backed up? Or any of these scenarios that really are the, you know, necessary pieces of great documentation, very rarely do most MSPs have a good handle on that stuff. And the outcome is it's time burn. Like it's, you know, you take that 20% of, wasted time and you multiply it by your staff count. And then you multiply that by the cost per hour of those employees. And then that's your actual, you know, soft cost. Then you take, you know, let's say 20% of that time, what would those people have been doing with that 20% of their time had they not been wasting it? And all of a sudden you realize, oh my goodness, like the cost of bad documentation and bad process is astounding. Like it's like for a 5-person company, it can be $250,000 a year.
Wow. Yeah.
So,
and you're absolutely preaching to the converted here. I'm nodding away as you're saying this, Chris, because it's so true what you're saying. Yeah.
So it's not sexy, documentation. Nobody's, you know, we wear in jest, we wear the shirts that say, you know, I love documentation on them. And everybody kind of laughs because who likes documentation? Well, you know what? It's absolutely necessary. It's the only way you can scale a business. It's the only way, you know, in my case, you know, how I was able to extract myself from the day to day running the nuts and bolts, and extract, you know, all those key, high level players that are inside the business, the very technical, rocket scientist, types, you know, the better the documentation, the less need you have for those people, the faster your people get their work done. And in our case, in Fully Managed, we were able to take tasks that used to require, you know, level 2, level 3 engineers, and we were able to push those tasks forward to level 1 engineers. And that is good for everybody. That's good for the business owner. That's good for the level 2 and level 3 engineers because they're thankful that they don't have to do those mundane tasks. It's good for the customer because they prefer, you know, working with level 1 engineers because they're generally happier and less, more customer focused, I would say. So there's so many benefits to it. But, you know, at the end of the day, when I look at anything like documentation, I look at this, it's an investment, and I look at things as an investor, and I want to produce higher returns in the business. And that's what process and documentation will do.
Absolutely makes sense. Absolutely makes sense. And I'm sure there's going to be lots of IT business owners who are listening to this podcast who absolutely agree with it as well. But let's keep hold of that theme for a minute. So most technicians I know that I've employed in the past and that I know within MSP businesses now are pretty much driven by a desire to help end users. You know, let's not beat around the bush. Most engineers enjoy being seen as the hero. Yeah. You know, they get a kick out of helping people with things. And it is a really admirable trait to put clients first. But in my experience, it does mean these technicians often dismiss documentation as something that's time-consuming and gets in the way of them actually helping clients. So what's the benefit of good IT documentation to an MSP's client? How can the business owner sell good IT documentation to their engineers as something they should really be doing?
You know, I can answer that in a few ways, but one of the things that I think has been a big struggle for documentation in general. It was sort of like this idea that, you know, I want you to update the documentation. Even in our business, there'd be a project plan, and at the end of it, it would say update documentation, and that was, you know, part of the billable scope of the project. And I, you know, we'd scratch our heads and go, well, what does that exactly mean? And so generally that would just sort of the project would get closed off and that was that. So the problem with the reason that's always been the case and it's the, you know, since the dawn of time as, in IT provider space is that, there is generally a desire to do documentation. I think that if the system doesn't support, the ability to very easily and quickly and efficiently maintain and create that documentation, then you're right. It's an obstacle to getting work done. And so, you know, this software that you or the platform that you're using to track the documentation, it has to be something that you can do in the line of fire that's not going to prevent you from getting the work that you need to get done. So that's the first thing. In terms of selling it to a customer, for us in Fully Managed, this is a major part of our sales, process. So we show, our customers, how transparent we are with the documentation, how detailed we store everything. You know, we've got all of their information on file from passwords to how the backups are configured to, the network to applications, it's all there. And so for the customers, they really get peace of mind from that because they say, well, you know, this company is not the type of company that's going to hold us hostage for our information. In fact, they've given us a login and we can look at our documentation at any time. So the customers definitely see it. The other thing that the customers see, in my experience, is the consistency, which is another serious problem in IT. Something like creating a new user account, could have 28 steps, and depending on who gets that service request, it could be something. There could be a significant or at least some variance in the outputs of that request, and that's something that the customers feel. So, and obviously something they don't, they don't love it when you miss a step in a new employee hire technical process. So we have found that having very consistent procedural documentation to go with each customer drives a better customer experience. They say, "Wow, it's really cool that Jim or Sally can both do that type of task, and it's very consistently done. Even the email template that we get at the end, it's all the same." So not that you can't achieve that with brute force in other ways through great management, but certainly having a system that supports that effort. Like, for example, every request that we do in our service desk, and our service desk is probably 28, 30 people now, so quite a few people in the service desk team, it's disallowed to perform a technical task without following a standard operating procedure, SOP. And those SOPs are linked and they must be referenced inside of the ticket notes that they do. And that means that if there is not an SOP, then one must be created. And so that starts to drive very consistent service delivery, which even though it's a long-winded answer to your question, but the engineers that may be not believers, generally, if they truly believe in providing a very consistent experience, we have found that they will create those SOPs and then they will refer people to those SOPs. And it actually sort of creates a, that documentation is already there, just follow the procedure, and then I can get back to work. So we found that the main problem, in a nutshell, is that nobody wants to work on a crummy system or update a SharePoint page or a Word document or some file somewhere, because they don't believe that anybody else is ever going to see it or use it, and so it's kind of a waste of time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've actually, while you were talking about that, and I think it was a great answer, by the way, while you were talking about that, I was just thinking, to some MSPs that I speak to, they ask the question, well, what's a good way to get started with IT documentation? So for anybody who is maybe retaining information in their head, or they've got a key employee who knows all about the clients, but nobody else does, what advice would you give to them, Chris, on where to get started with IT documentation?
Yeah, so there's really two sides to documentation, and I think this is one of the things that, not to toot our own horn, but this is one of the things that we nailed with IT Glue. There is the structured documentation, and this is like the field driven. What does that server do? What does that device do? What is the DHCP server? What is what is the backup scheme? Everything is structured. It's drop down lists. It's tags. It's that kind of stuff. That is, to my mind, 70% of what's very critical. So it's sort of, I can understand a customer's environment at a glance without having to ask anybody anything. That is, from a ROI perspective, in terms of inputting documentation, one of the quickest, fastest, easiest, highest ROI wins, because you're looking at probably an hour to 2 hours on average to produce that documentation for a single customer. So if you've got 25 customers, then you're looking at 25 to 50 hours to produce that documentation. That's inside of your team. That will give you a huge lift in terms of your peace of mind, I would say, and also in terms of the ability to start to shuffle customers and allow other people to work on different customers, bring new people in, all that kind of stuff. The second part, the last 30%, is what I would say is the long tail part of the process, and that will be the procedural documentation, the steps, the screenshots, here's the SOPs for this customer or that customer, or there are central articles that are more generic, like how do we deploy our backup platform, how do we deploy a new firewall, how do we deploy a switch, how do we upgrade our RMM, those type of articles that are centralized. So I think that the biggest ROI is in taking your largest customers, documenting them first, getting all that structured information. It's kind of like what they talk about in ITIL, which is the approach we follow for documentation, but the idea of a service catalog. So what are all the services and what are all the applications that are running on this network? And once you've got that, you can then start to build the more detailed, procedural documentation around it.
Yeah, fantastic. Really good advice. And it reminds me of a story back when I was running an MSP. We used to document just about everything. I was actually quite OCD about it, I guess. Yep. is one better word. And, even as far as in comms rooms, we documented the make and model of the air conditioning unit.
Yep.
And going back to what you said earlier on about consistency and quality of service that you deliver to clients, I remember the one day we actually had a phone call from a client saying that the air conditioning unit in the comms room was leaking and there was water all over the floor, and they were in a panic about it. What do we do? Turning to us for advice. Now, we had it all documented. We knew who'd installed the system. We knew who to go to for maintenance on that unit. And so within a couple of hours, we'd made the phone call. There was an engineer there, and the problem was resolved. Now, that doesn't sound very much like IT when I tell that story to people, but the end result was the client thinks we're absolutely fantastic. We've got all the information we need. Anything basically with a plug on, we can help them out with, and that gave so much credibility to us as a business. So you can take IT documentation to the nth degree, but really, I think most things are probably better off documented out of people's heads and down on paper than it is just floating out there.
Yeah, and it's unreal how much of that information. There's so many examples, but someone I will often say, just as a test, they'll say, okay, well, let's pick a customer. And bring the engineer on the line that knows that knows that customer best, and I'll ask them a random question from the standard set of services that would be on that network. I'll say, what's the webmail URL? And they will just shake their head. So I have to go look it up. And then I look at them and I say, exactly. That's exactly what the problem is with the way this is running. And there's a million of those examples. And so there's, big part of my feeling on documentation is there's a, it's like the common ROI, ROE, return on energy thing. There's probably 20% of the work that you can document that will give you 80% of the return. And you don't need that much information to be a way further ahead than most IT providers are right now. So I always like, documenting something like email. You could certainly document, 30, 40 fields if you wanted to, but even just getting 6 or 7 key aspects of email documented for every customer provides an immediate lift. And then you can always do a round two, add more documentation later.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. It does give you a competitive advantage over your competitors who are not documenting this stuff, who are carrying the information around in their heads, doesn't it?
It does. It absolutely does. And it's peace of mind. The team, surprisingly, it takes away one of those things, one of those differentiators between people within the company, where this guy has got all the information, so he's just sort of big man on campus walking around. And it sort of, from my experience, it creates this more of a team vibe where everybody knows that everything is in there. And so everybody can just focus on delivering great service instead of, what do I know?
Yeah. And it actually protects the MSP business, I think, as well. I've come across multiple scenarios or situations, you should say, examples where there's been one senior engineer within a business who has known so much about a client, none of it documented, and then the MSP ends up in that awful situation where that senior engineer either leaves or, worse, goes to work for a competitor. And so it's panic stations. It's like, well, what are we going to do about, one of these big clients that we've got when this guy knows everything about the clients and we know nothing as a business, really?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And I never mention or use those things in our ROI calculators that we have for IT Glue, but it's very true. I mean, the one customer walking away for something like that, it's far more expensive than anything we would possibly charge. So
but
it's really true. That's one of the things we talk about, is getting rid of the risk. The risk associated with bad documentation, that's one of the key risks.
Yeah, cool. So I suspect we could talk about IT documentation as a subject. We'll have to invite you back for a second podcast. I know people are going to be interested in talking about this. But let's revisit IT Glue just a little bit there. So you recently announced integration with Autotask. I know that your background, similar to mine, you've got a background within the ConnectWise community as well.
Yep.
What else is on the horizon for IT Glue upcoming?
Well, this summer, we are working on our next series of integrations, which are most of the RMM tools. So we've got LabTech, AEM, we're not sure about the API on that one, depending if they release it, Kaseya, Enable, Continuum, and a whole bunch of other ones that we're looking at. So the idea will be, one of the reasons we called ourselves Glue, IT Glue, was that the more systems that we can connect to and sort of bring relevant information into the documentation, the better. So we started with the PSA tools, Autotask and ConnectWise, mainly because that's a great asset database to begin with. But now we're going to start to kind of overlay more network information on top of that. So that's huge. The integrations are huge. The other thing that's on the horizon, we actually just sent out a survey to customers yesterday, which we're pretty excited about, is the idea, and I had mentioned this to you, Richard, but documentation as a service. So we're in the early stages of putting a program together where we would actually help do the documentation, given access to the right tools by our partners. So, for example, give us access to your RMM tools and we can go in and do some of the documentation. Because one of the biggest challenges we hear from our MSPs is that's preventing them from getting documentation done, even the ones that are already customers, is lack of time.
Yeah.
And so we're thinking, well, maybe we can help with that, because a lot of the documentation that needs to be done is very standardized, and we can pretty much do it with access to the RMM tool. So anyway, that's a very exciting thing that's on the horizon for us.
Yeah, very cool. Documentation as a service. So when can we expect that to come to market? How far forward are you with that?
Well, we've rounded out what the key elements of that service would be. We're now going to go into a beta group with 5 or 6 companies, and we're going to just see how it goes. And so we would expect probably in the next 2 months or so to have the results of that and then hopefully launch it on a larger scale.
Cool. Well, I shall certainly keep an eye out for that. I know that's going to be of interest to lots of people. Many MSPs I speak to, when I talk about IT documentation, and they roll their eyes a bit and they say, yeah, yeah, Rick, as soon as we get the time for it. So I can see that definitely being a good one. So yeah. Cool. So I guess for there's going to be people listening and they want to find out more about IT Glue. Where would they go to?
The best thing to do, obviously, is just hit our website, itglue.com. What we generally do is we have a certain, and some people say it's a little regimented, but we like it this way. We have a kind of a regimented sales process, which is there's a 15-minute product overview, which we like to get people to watch in advance of really starting to chat with us, because it covers off most of the key features in a very short time frame. You can get access to that by filling out the request demo form on our website. Once you've watched that, we generally do a live demo then, just to allow more interaction and ask questions and show me how to do this or that. And then from there, we can unleash a 7-day trial, which people can use and sign up at any time. And then from there, once you sign up, we reach out to you. We have an onboarding project manager, and all of our signups include a consulting and setup package, which is basically some consulting from our side to help people get off on the right foot. So,
yeah,
generally
makes a lot.
Yeah, schedule those 7 to 10 days out from sign up. So
makes a lot of sense. I think one of the reasons that I perceive you as being so successful is you do a really good job with qualifying and onboarding people. So that's probably no surprise for most SaaS businesses that are successful do that really, really well. And it sounds like you've got a great process in place for doing that at the moment.
Yeah, it seems to. We didn't used to do it at the beginning, and we learned that was just absolutely critical.
Yeah,
you get people, and also it's kind of I always say this too. Don't sign up if you're not ready to commit to doing this in the next quarter, because this is you've got to understand the value of good documentation. It should be something that I jumping at the chance to get this done, because it delivers, like, it gives you time back. But if you just simply don't have the time to do it, then probably not the right time.
Yeah, absolutely. But there are going to be some people who are listening to this and they're going, Chris, shut up and take my money. but I know you're being very generous. You've got a step further than that. So for people listening to the podcast, you've actually got a code, haven't you, that they can receive a discount on the setup fee?
I do, yeah. So we have a setup. The setup fee is $495 US. We're providing for all of Richard's partners a discount of $50. The code is TUBB15. So if you sign up with that code, you'll get a $50 discount, which we generally don't do. So hopefully if anybody is so inclined, wants to sign up, it's very quick ROI. And again, if you're not ready to sign up, just engage with us and we will we'll certainly work with you directly on that as well.
Fantastic. Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you how people can find you and Fully Managed online as well. So are you present on social media?
Yeah, I'm hiding behind the IT Glue Twitter account most now. So that's the one where I have the most fun, but it's IT_Glue. But Fully Managed is Fully Managed. Twitter's the best at this point. And obviously our website, fullymanaged.com. So if you want to, a lot of people have told me this site's been out for six or seven years, the Fully Managed site, but we got a lot of feedback and quite honestly, a lot of plagiarism of our website. So people say it's the idea of putting the customer first. So check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a really good website. And what is it? Imitation and flattery, that type of thing. Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. So, Chris, I'm really, really appreciative of your time today. I think this is going to be valuable for anybody listening. So thanks so much. And I'm sure if you've got the time, listeners would love to get you back for another podcast, perhaps where we could talk about qualifying customers, sales process, and talk some more about IT documentation. But thanks so much for your time, Chris. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.